And I want to stop right there because the title that the Lord gave me this morning is Good Tidings of Great Joy.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Let's come, just talk to him for a minute. Lord, thank you for the opportunity just to be in your house. Each day you give us a new day to worship you. Each day you give us a day that we can come to your presence. And so I'm thankful for that, Lord, and I'm thankful for the life that you have given to me. And I pray, God, that you would use me as a vessel today to bring forth your word and to bring forth accurately your word. And I love you, Lord, and I'm asking that you would do that and that you would speak to us as a people today. In the name of Jesus. God's people say amen and amen. All right, this morning, I want us to turn to Luke's gospel. And, of course, it's Christmas season. But not just because it's Christmas season do I want to talk about this portion of Scripture. But what the Lord has laid upon my heart this morning for us. Luke chapter 2. In verse 8, and there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field. They were living in that field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. Now, how many of us would be afraid? You say, somebody say, oh, I'm not afraid of no angel. Yeah, have you ever met one? They were sore afraid. Landon, I know you're talking about me, that I'm an angel, right? Far from it, okay? Ask Laura, okay? It's just... But they were very much afraid. And think about it. If an angel of the Lord appears to you, you know there's one of two things, right, Pastor Aaron, that they're going to tell you. Either you have really messed up, and I'm here to fix you up, right? Or there's something that's about to happen. And so they were very much afraid. And we find out at that point that the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around about. They were afraid. And the angel says to them, do not fear. In other words, I'm not here to chastise you. I'm not here to bring you trouble. But I'm here to bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I want to stop right there because the title that the Lord gave me this morning is Good Tidings of Great Joy. Because the angel came and said, I've got some good news for you. Now, the word tidings isn't used a whole lot anymore in our English language. But in this particular text, it means to bring an announcement of news that you will like. How many of you like to be a bearer of that one? Huh? You know, when I want to bring you something and I say, you're going to like what I have to say. We don't like when I'm going to come to John and say, you're not going to like what I have to say. Right? How many of us, when somebody comes to you, you just all of a sudden get all tensed up? You know, you're not going to like what I have to say to you. Why do people say that? Why don't we just say it, you know, instead of getting that up in arms? But good tidings means the angel said, I'm going to tell you something that you want to hear. Because the world at that particular time and mankind as a whole is in darkness at this time. Do you know that the Lord had not spoken for about 400 years from a prophet till the time that he brings Jesus? How many of you have ever had a time when you go through when it seems like the Lord is far away from you? Kathy just mentioned that. It just seems like, God, where are you? Are you ever going to talk to me again? And God brings us through those seasons. But the angel says to them, I've got some good things that you are going to want to hear. In particular, that mankind is needing a Savior. Now, we talk about this on a regular basis, and we talked about mankind needing to know Jesus as a Savior before you got saved. But how many of you know that you still need a Savior after you get saved? Now, the reason that I bring this up, and this was sparked by a conversation that I had recently with an individual that said that, hey, I'm saved and I have not sinned since I got saved. Right. And you know, as much as I tried to reason and say, wait a minute, what do you mean you haven't sinned? You know, have you ever thought a bad thought? Nope. Okay. You haven't done anything that would you'd consider sin? Nope. Nope. Well, I'm here today to tell you that there's some good news. Because how many of you have sinned since you got saved? Raise your hand. You bunch of sinners, right? I'm raising my hands too, right? Okay. That's why Jesus came. Now, we don't hear this often because we hear it, you know, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You can get saved by Jesus. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that I am being saved. I am being washed in the blood. I am being sanctified because none of us are perfect. Proclaiming, I want you to look at Isaiah 61. And we go here oftentimes when it comes to talking about the Lord in the book of Isaiah. But I want you to read these verses again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now we know that this is speaking about Jesus. Right? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. In other words, there's still good news even after you get saved. That Jesus is a forgiving God. Because we need it. We really do need it. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Does that sound like good news to you? Amen. That we might be trees of righteousness. I love that, right? That we could put on the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness. Now, for those of you that are old-timers in the things of God, there was a song, and I don't know if some of you still remember it, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. How many of you remember that one? Okay, you guys are the old timers, okay? He came with those good tidings, with those good things for us. We're saved. How many of you are saved? How many of you know you're going to heaven? Who didn't raise your hand? Okay. We're going to talk about these things are written that we might know that we have eternal life. If you've given your life to Jesus, He says, I have saved you with an everlasting love. And I'm going to be with you. But the whole thing is, though, after we get saved, we still have a flesh man to deal with. And if you don't think so, just let something get an anger going under you and see how it goes with you. Does anybody get angry in here? Mm-hmm. So this flesh man, unfortunately, we will have to battle this flesh man till the time that we die. But we're in good company because the scriptures are full of individuals, examples. You're in the book of Isaiah. Turn back over to Isaiah chapter 6. How many of you consider the man Isaiah a godly man? But here we have an account that Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. Wow. He was high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. I love this. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet. With twain He did fly. Wow. And He cried, and one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. What a sight. What would we do if here at Living Water Church, if the walls began to shake and the floor began to move at the presence of God, and then a smoke filled the house without any smoke machines? The glory of God. There's a lot of people that say, well, you know, if the Lord showed up like that, I would just go right into His presence and I would say, God, explain to me why You do this, this, and this. Isaiah, the man of God, says what? Then I said, woe is me. Ron and I have a special thing about woe. Anytime you hear the word woe, it's not a good thing, right? In the ministry training center, we talked about that. Woe is bad. Okay? He says, woe is me, for I am undone. You know what that means? He is undone. He came apart. He melted at the presence of God. I don't know who you and I think we are, and some people think that they can just say, oh, I'm going to tell God this, and I'm going to tell God that. You're not going to tell God anything, Patty. When He shows up, how many of you have ever been under the power of God and you cannot get up? And you cannot. Isaiah says, I'm undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the middle of a people of unclean lips. How many of us can say that? Wow. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This morning I want us to get this and understand this, that the good tidings came because of who we are and because of the sinfulness of man. Though Isaiah was a prophet of God, when he encountered the Spirit of God and the presence of God, he was undone at that. And I want us to get this and understand this because it puts us in our place of who we are and who God is. And this is where we talk about things like humbling ourselves before the throne of God. And I think that that's what God is trying to say here this morning, that this Christmas message is about good tidings, not just for salvation, but for all of us living this life of Christianity after our salvation, because we need it. And I tell you, the older I get, the more I realize that I need that. I need the grace of God, because I am not all that I thought I was when I was younger. How many of you agree with me? Okay? You know, I used to think I was really special. That, wow, God would use me. I must be special. No, He's special. And I thank God for the years that I've been able to live and to be able to realize that and to come into a place where it is about God, not about me, Philip. It's not about me, because there's nothing special in me except the Spirit of God that lives within me. Well, there was another man that had an issue with sin. And no, it's not going to be David. How about the Apostle Paul? Great man of God. Great man of God. And if we jump over to Romans chapter 7, this passage of Scripture, I remember when, you know, I first got out of Bible school and I was reading through the Word of God. This one just blew me away, because those of you that know me, my person that I look towards in the Scriptures for spiritual mentor is the Apostle Paul. I just thought, wow, he is a great man of God. But then I ran across this portion of Scripture here in Romans chapter 7. And Paul was talking about sin here. And look at verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Did you see that word, sold? He says, I have been sold under sin. I have been born into this flesh nature. And I always say this, that people say, no. People aren't born into sin. They just learn to develop sin. Really? Ask a toddler. What's their first word? No. What is no? No means I am rebelling against your authority. Usually the first words that come out. Now, in my particular case, my mother said my first word was cookie. I think that's what she said, right, Rick? You know, I used to go to the neighbors begging cookies. I'd go knock on the door. I couldn't talk, but all I could say was cookie. And they felt sorry for me and gave me cookies. Laura says, you still feel sorry for me and give me cookies. Thought I'd throw that in. Yeah. But we're sold under this sin nature. And then he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. Anybody ever feel like you're in this little kind of a spinning drum here? You know you shouldn't do it. You know that it's wrong. You know that it's against the things of God or against God's heart, but somehow you find yourself still doing it. Right? Come on, am I the only one? The Apostle Paul, and I was, you know, my mentor, I was like, what? Paul? Seriously? You're doing those things that you know you're not supposed to do? And then he says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, this is where Flip Wilson, some of you know this, you know, he said the devil made me do it. Well, that's not true. It's the sin nature that is within us. But if we do not control that sin nature, It will then do whatever it wants to do. But see, the good tidings came, Charlotte, for you. Right? Wanda, the angels brought good tidings that you don't have to continue to be bound by that flesh man. Paula, it's good news for you. The apostle Paul said, you know what? This is the sin that dwelleth in me. And then verse 20, now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now we're going to jump down. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. How many of you feel that way sometimes? You know you love God. You know you want to serve Him. But yet, these things somehow pop up in your life. Now we're getting down to brass tacks here, are we not? We still have thoughts that we shouldn't have. We still let our mouth get away from us and let things fly out of our mouths that shouldn't be out of our mouths. We do and say things that we ought not to. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Without the good tidings, there is no deliverance. Amen? But, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you look at chapter 8, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who are not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I love this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. How many know that's good news? When we walk in Christ, listen, who walk not after the flesh. Now I want you to pay particular attention to that particular phrase. Though we mess up, and though these things continually try to creep up in our flesh, man, if our heart is set on walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh or following after the flesh, there is no condemnation to us in Christ because there is good news, Rick. Amen? There is good news that He says, if you will call upon Me and you will ask Me to forgive you, I will take that and cast it as far as the east is from the west, and I remember it no more. That's good news. That's good news. Because how many of you would like to see the record of all the things that you have done? Because Paul realized that same thing when he was talking to the Colossian church, and he said, the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, He has blotted it out. And it's no longer there. The condemnation is not there. Now the devil, he'll keep his list and try to bring that up before God and say, look at what they've done. Yeah. Man, there's 48 pages here. Double-sided. In small print. And God looks at it and says, I don't see anything. Nothing there. That's good news. That's good news right there. I'm telling you, Jesus took the penalty for our sin. This is why the Lord asks us to do something over in James. Turn over to the book of James. And again, that book of James is a wonderful book. It has so much to say to us. Chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Can we say that just one more time? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Don't speak evil of one another, brethren. You know why we are not to speak evil of other people? Because we ourselves would have our own list had it not been for the blotting out. Had it not been for Jesus coming. That's why we're not to speak evil of others. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you that judges? Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. The life that God has given to us here has been given to us to be useful to God. Amen? And He's made a provision for that, John, for us to have forgiveness of sin and good news. That's why we are to, in verse 8, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw near unto you. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, you double-minded. God knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. That is not a license for us to continue doing the things we do that we know are against God. Can somebody say amen now?
Amen.
We are to draw near unto God and to say, God, my life is in you. No matter what. See, it doesn't matter how good we are. Now, Pastor Aaron sets a high standard of being good.
Amen, Pastor.
Right? But you can't be good enough. There's just no way. There's no way. No matter how good things you do, the good news is that there was a provision that was made, Shauna. Amen. Amen and amen. Let's make this coming year one of humility before God. I think what the Lord is really, you know, in the heart of this message that He put on my heart today was, this year, let's realize what life is all about. That God has given us this life. And that He gives us our breath. He gives us our provisions. He gives us our health. He gives us the things that we have. It is all about Him. And I think that God is just looking for His church to humble themselves before Him and recognize the Christmas good news. That it's every day. Every day is Christmas. Every day is the Lord coming and saying, I love you. I forgive you. I am your all in all. Because I recognize more than anything now that it is He that sustains me. It is God that sustains, and it is God who breaks the chains of bondage upon us. So this year at Christmas time, when we're getting all of our gifts, physical gifts, I want you to think about the gifts that Jesus wants to give you. He wants to break chains this year. He wants to do that. I want you to think about some chains right now in your life that need to be broken. He wants more than anything to break those chains of bondage, because that's why He came to this earth. Think about it right now. What is it that you've got that has held your bondage and you need it to be broken? Think about that. And the devil would say, well, you know, that's never going to happen. It's just who you are. Your dad was like that. Your mom was like that. You know, blah, 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 blah. No. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. There is a plan that God has for us. And I want to close with 2 Corinthians. Again, the Apostle Paul speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, when I was a young man working at Teen Challenge, I met Brother Rick. We became great friends. But I'll never forget, I got a plaque that a student made me, and I don't know if Rick remembers this or not, but it has this verse on it, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And on the plaque, it was made out of wood and it was carved by hand that the student made for me, and I still have it. And it has chains on there that were broken. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Chains will be broken where the Spirit of the Lord is. Come on, can I get a witness? Chains will be broken where the Spirit of the Lord is. Another amen. Chains will be broken where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Amen.
Is that for you? Will your chains be broken? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the promise is right there. That there is liberty in that. God wants to set us free, folks. That's His Christmas gift for us. Good tidings of great joy. Great joy that He did it for us. And it is available for us. How many of you have ever ordered something and it was on back order? Yeah? And you loved it, right? When you ordered it and you wanted it and they said, great, you can have it in about 8 weeks. How many of you are so excited about that, that it was back ordered? Jesus doesn't give you the promise of back order in 8 weeks. He says, where my Spirit is and where it shows up, chains will be broken. Liberty will happen. Come on, let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the good tidings of great joy. And Lord, more than ever this year, that we would humble ourselves before Your throne. We call upon You and we ask Your forgiveness. We need Your cleansing, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit here today in the house. I thank You, Lord, for Your anointing upon Your Word. And I thank You for answering us, God, today. And Lord, today, I speak healing and I speak chains broken over this congregation. Chains broken in the name of Jesus. And that we would be a people, God, that would follow You and serve You and, God, be filled with Your Holy Ghost and do the miraculous works of God in the house and in our communities and in our workplaces, God, that we would be filled with the power of God, with the chains being broken. And we thank You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.